This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Make sure you're sticking around for that. Right now, we've got the wonderful Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. You can find him on The Leap as well, of course, at Peter_Bukowski on social media. Peter, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Wait, is this not the Mason Crosby Show?
Oh, no, I know. That's next. Are you double? Yeah, we can bring you back.
I mean, I'm happy to come back, but I'm also happy to be here with you, Andy.
Yeah, sure you are. I appreciate though you for being here, Pete. It's always great chatting with you. Let's start where we could start in a million different places. Obviously, we're at the draft, and I want to talk about that as well. But the big news from yesterday, of course, was Rob Domofsky's report that there is some opportunity to reconcile here for Jaire Alexander. So let's start there, Peter. What did you potentially make of that update from Rob Domofsky? Is this one last gasp of like trying to get trade value out of Jaire, and we'll leak something like this, or is this legitimate? Could Jaire actually be back in 2025?
Well, my big takeaway is that you and only you were wrong about this. No one else said there was a 0% chance that Jaire Alexander was going to be back.
0.01, by the way.
0.01. Don't confirm that. Don't confirm that my tweets. Don't look at my tweets ever about that. No, this is one of those stories that is evolving, and I think that it was a weird situation during the season. Like, let's go back to the regular season when Jaire Alexander was practicing in limited fashion. I think he even might have had a couple full practices in there, and then wouldn't play. Would be questionable, and then wouldn't play. And it seemed weird. Matt LaFleur, who has no poker face about these things, seemed very annoyed, not just the situation, but then the questions that come with it. He's very bad at hiding his annoyance with those kinds of things. And then it's so interesting, right, that Domofsky was the one that had this report, because he was the one that also reported a couple weeks ago, probably months ago now, that the team didn't believe he was always as hurt as he was saying, or at least that was the insinuation, was that, hey, the team kind of thought there were times when you maybe should have gutted it out. And once you leak stuff like that, once that comes out of the team, it feels over. But I think what happened is that we have reporting from multiple sources, Tom Silverstein included, that there was no thought on a contract reduction. No price cut here. Yesterday's price is today's price. And I just wonder if that's changed now. Because if no one's going to trade for you, if no one's going to give real stuff up for you, and the Packers don't have any financial need to move on from you, I think that's what makes this difference from, say, the Davante Adams trade, where the Jets needed to get off of 30-plus million of that Davante Adams contract. Then what the market is telling Jaire Alexander and the Packers is that if the Packers were to straight up release Jaire Alexander, he's not getting the money that he's currently on his contract. And that the best thing for him may be to say, hey, look, Green Bay, let's work this out. I'll take a little bit less. Maybe we'll turn this into a one-year deal so that I can become a free agent in a year, and it essentially becomes a one-year prove-it deal. Now that we've passed the draft, and I think teams are going to be less willing to not only use draft assets to get him, but then also sign him. Like, there, a lot of these teams, their money is spoken for. So I think that makes this much harder, and I think it makes it much easier for everyone involved to go, look, let's cooler heads may prevail here a little bit. It makes sense to just figure this out. And I joked about you and I being wrong about this, and I don't think we were. I think that the facts on the ground changed, and it's okay for everyone to say, look, what was true a month ago is not true today based on the facts that we have. And I think the facts on the ground in this situation did change. It's also important to note, and I'll stop monologuing, that the reporting is Jaire Alexander has never asked to be traded, that this is very much a Green Bay making a decision here. And I just wonder, coming out of the draft, if maybe the draft is telling us more than we realized, that Green Bay is going, actually, you know what makes sense for us is to figure this out and have Jair Alexander on the team for at least one more year, try and make a run at this, and then maybe figure out where to go from there.
Every once in a while, we're on the same page, Peter. That is almost verbatim what I just said in the last segment, too, of like, hey, this might be a divorce that maybe made sense, but if you look at it from Jair's side, it could be the situation where he and his agent realize, like, hey, this is actually the best scenario for us to make the most money this year. Let's maybe just kind of work this out. And for the Packers, you canvas, well, first of all, you end up in the draft only with a seventh round guy. And then you look around the league and you're like, there's nobody to sign here. There's no options. There's nothing great that we could bring in. Jair's actually the best case scenario for us. And while divorce might be imminent in a year from now, for the time being, you know, sometimes you just got to stick it together for the best of everyone. It's just, there's no better option out there. And for both sides, it kind of seems like that's the case. And you bring up a very interesting point. I think making this into a one-year deal, maybe a slight pay cut for Jair, but you know, then you know, maybe some potential, you know, game day bonuses for Jair that are thrown in there as well. I think there's an easy way to make a compromise for this, and by doing that, and I think it's such a great idea on your end of, you know, to make that more of a one-year deal, is you make this a very important year for Jair, because if he goes out and he plays well, and if he's active for the majority of the games, not only are there maybe some bonuses there, but also he's age 29 next year. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent at age 29. You're not going to get a franchise tag from Green Bay or anything like that. Like, you're going to be a free man in the open market. If he goes out and balls out this year, he is going to get paid next offseason. So it is a huge opportunity for Jair to go out and prove himself. And if you get that version of Jair that actually plays in all the games and plays extremely well, you don't have any issue with the contract that he's on right now, much less him taking maybe a little bit of a pay cut.
Yeah, and setting it up so that he's got, whether it's game day bonuses, whether it's performance bonuses, I like the idea of game day bonuses. Like, hey, if you're active on game day, let's make it so you could earn the full boat of the contract. I would even be willing to say, let's up it. Like, yep. let's make it so that you can earn more than you're getting in base salary right now, just to make it more palatable for Jair Alexander. Because to your point, the best version of this team has Jair Alexander on it. And like, you don't really have someone else who could theoretically be that guy for you against opposing number one receivers. And if you're Jair Alexander, like, come on, he is, for, you know, fans like to complain and I get it, but he is as competitive a guy on the field as anyone on this team. You don't think he wants another shot at Justin Jefferson? You don't think he wants another shot at Amon-Ra St. Brown and this Lions team? You don't think he wants another shot at Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and DJ Moore and all those guys? Of course he does. You don't think he wants a shot to make a play in the playoffs, to be that primetime player that we know he can be? It really does make sense from that standpoint, from his side, to try and figure something out here. And I think that really clicks into place with where the Packers are. It essentially becomes a free agent where you're like, okay, you're bringing this guy back who we didn't think was going to be back.
To that point, when just going back to his rookie season, basically up until forever, every single time in practice that they're doing one-on-ones or anything, he always wanted Devontae. He always wanted it. It was like, if he would rearrange the line, or if it wasn't set to be him versus Devontae, he would go to the front of the line and take Devontae. Like, just right away. Like, he would go and make sure that he was going against the best receiver. He's done that still, even obviously post-Devontae. Like, he wants the smoke. He wants the competition. He wants to make himself better. I'm right there with you. I've never bought the, like, he's ducking opponents or doesn't want to play in big games. That's just happenstance, bad luck, whatever you want to call it. He very much wants that level of competition. So, I'm very intrigued to see where this goes. I'm sure as the offseason drama of as Jair turns will still take a million different turns through the course of this offseason still, but at some point we'll get a resolution, and either we'll have a lot of egg on our face or very little egg on our face, Peter, and we'll kind of go from there and figure it out. But it's been an interesting whirlwind so far. Go ahead.
I just said I do like eggs, just not on my face necessarily.
There you go. Fair enough. All right. I want to talk to you next. We're being joined by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. You can find him on The Leap as well, which is a phenomenal Packers newsletter that you should be getting and subscribing to every single day. You can find him on social media at Peter_Bukowski. All right. You were obviously at the draft, Peter. So just let's start there. Tell me about your experience. What was it like? How did Green Bay show out? You know, how did you enjoy your experience in Green Bay? Or maybe you didn't. Whatever it was.
It was incredible. It was really a special moment. And I will never forget the Mark Murphy moments with Matthew Golden. And Matthew Golden, my listeners know, people who follow me on social media know, maybe people who don't follow me on social media know, that was not my favorite pick. But it was such a cool moment to have Mark Murphy be able to walk out on that stage in front of, what, 200,000 people or whatever the final number was. It was so crowded they had to stop letting people in, Andy. I was worried I was not going to be able to get from them, that they were not going to let me from the media center back out, because I wanted to be out there when Mark Murphy announced the pick. And to be able to do that when you have this, that's what Mark Murphy built. This was the Titletown District, bringing the draft to Green Bay, the culmination of everything that he's done. And then to be able to be the guy to say, for the first time since 2002, you know, they took a receiver, like, ask about the shareholders. Apparently that was all improvised. I just thought that was that is such a special moment. I will never forget the pop of the crowd when they did that. It was a really cool thing. And I will say, the day two, I was a little nervous because it was cold. It was crappy out. It was raining. And they still had over 100,000 people come through the gates for day two of the draft. This people are sick. And like it was incredible to see. And I found it interesting. I came up Thursday, and it just kind of felt like game day, right? Like it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and there were tailgates already. And you walk around, you know, you walk past the Barn Holmgren and the Stadium View and all these places, and you're used to being there on game day when that's what it looks like. There's just people everywhere, Packer fans everywhere, and I would say it was like 80% Packer fans, which is really what a game day is. And so it felt like that. It just was bigger. It was even more. And you know, not to make it weird for you, but I had a lot of people come up and say, hey, man, love the podcast. Like, it was really the Venn diagram of all the people that listen to our shows and listen to this radio station. Like, they were all there. So it was nice to have the density. And I know you were doing meetups and live shows and stuff. But that was a really cool thing. And to have people who just love ball that much, who love, because let's be honest, Andy, it's not a great spectator event. Like, there's nothing to see. And you just have to be obsessed. You just have to be a culture of football to be into it. And like, to be able to do that, 600,000 people in a town of 100,000 it's remarkable. There will never be a number like that. I mean, imagine how many people, if they held the draft in Kansas City, or they held the draft in Cleveland or Chicago, even, how many people would have to come to make that same number, like, relative to population work? Or millions and millions of people would have to show up. Like, that is a special thing. And I said this on my show the other day. I hope that Packer fans don't take for granted what they are a part of as a culture, as a fan base.
It's special. It's amazing. And to your point about Friday, That number was 600-some thousand. There easily could have been another 75,000-ish on that had Friday been better weather and cooperated a little bit more. Like, it could have even been more, I think, which is crazy, because we saw it on both Thursday and Saturday. It was both much better participation and attendance on the days that were a little bit warmer and better weather. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the crazy part. And I think Green Bay showed out. I think they showed that they can more than handle an event like this. And like you said, like, day one, like, people are getting turned away because they couldn't fit even that many people in, which is just crazy to think about. Now, kudos to the Packers, NFL, Mark Murphy, just a tremendous job. And what a feather in the cap of Mark Murphy as he kind of transitions out and we enter into the Ed Policy era, which he has some big shoes to fill as Mark Murphy exits and he takes on that mantle. Obviously, Peter, there was an actual draft that took place as well. You mentioned maybe Matthew Golden not being your favorite selection overall. How did you view this sort of haul from Green Bay from rounds 1 through 7?
So, Even with that understanding of Matthew Golden not being my favorite pick, this is an extremely fun draft class. Just from the kinds of players that they got, from watching, the speed of Matthew Golden is really fun. And some of the contested catches that he made, some of his highlight plays, it's really fun. And for the Packers to take a first-round receiver in Green Bay, that's really fun. Anthony Belton, I know you posted some clips this morning. The tape is really fun. Like, offensive lineman, he's 6'6", 340. And I heard there were times when he was playing in, like, closer to 350. There's a reason his nickname is Escalade. He is just kicking people out of the club. It is dominant, powerful, contact, power, reps. And I love that. I have said this. I'm a sucker for offensive linemen like Anthony Belton, who are these big, long, physical, mauler types. They're dancing bears. And it's not always pretty, but they get guys blocked. And the earliest one I can remember is Morgan Moses. I was just like, I'm going to be higher on this guy than everybody else. I know it's not pretty. I know he doesn't have ideal foot quickness, but he just gets guys blocked. And that's Anthony Belton and then some for me. And Savion Williams, another one. I didn't think in a million years, Andy, the Packers were going to draft Savion Williams. Just not productive Same. Enough. They usually really, really value production at the receiver position, and he doesn't have any. But if you put together his 10 or 15 best plays and you cut him up in a highlight, you go, this is a first-round player. Like, he makes some of the most ridiculous plays in this class. And 6'3", 222 pounds, 96th percentile speed score, just get the ball in his hands. If you like Laviska Shenault, like, wait till you see this guy, is how I feel about it. And, like, I can't wait to see Matt LaFleur scheme up opportunities for him. I think it allows them to use Jaden Reed more as an actual receiver. I think it just gives them more opportunities. I said this on the show today. They are trying to matchup proof the offense. Add the speed, add the playmaking, add the heft up front. So if you want to play too high, okay, here is this big, bad, physical offensive line coming downhill with Josh Jacobs, with Marshawn Lloyd, with, hey, maybe Savion Williams, and make you feel like you have to bring a safety down. Okay, now you brought the safety down. Here's Matthew Golden over the top to beat you when you want to play single high coverage. So that part I really like. And then day three, you get a couple of pass rushers that I really like. Baron Sorrell, I thought, was a day two kind of player, a third round kind of player. I'm still kind of shocked he lasted to 123 with, or 124 with the kind of athletic ability, with the kind of steady tape. Like, there's no bad reps on tape. He's just a really solid player, and there's upside there. I love the Colin Oliver pick. Maybe not as much as Russ Uglum, who just was like getting the vapors on social media about it, but speed rush, someone who can play off the ball, someone who can be, like, I talked all draft season about, hey, maybe they find a Sam linebacker who can be an off-ball linebacker on early downs and then rush the passer on third downs. I think Oliver could do that. And then these two guys, Nazir Stackhouse and Warren Brinson, who are potential nose tackle types, run stuffers, cloggers, they need those bodies up the middle if Devontae Wyatt is going to be a long-term part of this team. And it seems like that's what Brian Gutekunst wants to do. Then they need that. They need that beef. They need to replace the T.J. Slaton reps, and they did that. This is a meat and potatoes draft. Like, there's steak and sizzle in this draft. It's more sizzle than we're used to, I think, especially at the top with Golden and Williams. But I think if you're the Packers, you felt like there aren't any holes on this roster, no glaring needs. Let's take some swings. Let's shoot for the stars on this and see if you can hit on some true difference-making players. And I mean, we're going to see.
It's like a beautiful plate of fajitas. It's got your meats. It's got your vegetables. It's sizzling. What more could you possibly want? This is the fajita draft for the Green Bay Packers. Peter, sometimes time flies when you're having fun. I feel like this was the quickest segment in the history of segments. I know you're a busy man. You, of course, can follow him on social media at Peter_Bukowski. This is, of course, the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios as well. Before we get you out of here, just a quick, kind of question. How would you, now looking back at this Packers offseason as a whole, how would you look at how Brian Gutekunst has navigated this offseason, free agency and the draft, and anything that they can still do to improve for the remainder of this offseason?
Part of me still sort of feels TBD about it because I want to see how this Jair Alexander situation plays out. If they are sure. able to mend this fence from their side, really, and bring back Ja, then I will think this was really handled well. I still think Aaron Banks was probably paid a little too much money, but you're paying the free agency tax. I loved the Nate Hobbs signing. I thought that was a great deal. I've always been a Nate Hobbs fan. So if you add that, like, do I love every individual move the way that it happened with the value? No. But did they make this team better? I think pretty clearly they are better today if they had to play a football game tomorrow than the team we saw play in Philadelphia against the Eagles. And, like, it's not my money, so that's all that really matters to me. And so I think the holistic view of it is they have closed the gap between them and the Eagles and the Lions, as those two teams, I think, are going to come back down to earth a little bit. So I think the Packers are closer to competing for a Super Bowl today than they were in January, and that's what I care about.
Awesome. I cannot wait. I think you're 1,000,000% correct on that, and I'm so excited to see exactly what this looks like, not just on paper, but on the field this upcoming season. It's going to be a ton of fun. We get rookie mini camps this weekend. It should be fun to kind of see what these rookies look like in person. Peter, I know you and I will both be talking about it. Where can we find all of your incredible work? Where can we find you on social media?
All the socials, Peter_Bukowski on Twitter, on Instagram, Blue Sky. You just got to search my name, same deal. Lockdown Packers, wherever you find podcasts. All the social medias, we're on TikTok. Apparently the kids are on TikTok, and so are we. And then Locked On Sports Today, I pump this every time. If you're saturated on Packers content, this is to get you caught up on everything else happening in the day in sports. Locked On Sports Today, in under 20 minutes, we'll get you caught up on everything.
Go find him. He's the best. At Peter_Bukowski, Locked On Packers, The Leap, Locked On Today. It's all there for you, and he does an incredible job with all of it. Peter, I'm sure we'll talk again soon. Enjoy your week breaking down all these draft prospects. And like I said, we'll talk to you, I'm sure, in the very near future.
All right. Thanks, Eddie.
You bet. Appreciate you a ton. That's, again, Peter Bukowski. Find him on Locked On Packers and, of course, at Peter_Bukowski. We've got a lot more to get to. We're going to get to it right after this. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back.